Hello, everybody.
Head blue again.
I'm sorry to neglect you for so long, all the tiny people inside our computer. We thought you might have gone away like a Tamagotchi, but you're still here, so thank you.
Yes, we had a really big dinner, so I hope you're not hungry anymore.
No, that's why. Yeah, that's why we're away. We had such a big dinner, we're away for a month.
Yims.
Also, we were kind of hoping that this whole thing would blow over, but it didn't. So we're gonna talk about stuff that's only tangentially related to it, because we've had enough geopolitics over the last month.
Yeah.
Yes. Do not worry. This isn't just a geopolitics stream about the separation between America and Europe, because that's bleeding obvious at this point.
Well, no, I think the teaser before we get started is clearly, if the problem is containment, then the solution is separation.
Da da da. Yes. What we'll be talking about today really is. Everyone talks about gatekeeping, but no one talks about what the goal of your gatekeeping should be and how you structure it.
Mm.
And we've talked about containment. We've talked about all the ill things and ill people that the containment structures deliberately bring into our midst to make any kind of organization to improve Britain impossible, really, especially within the political frame. So a lot of people seem to also have a bit of a... Yeah, dearth of imagination. Not you guys, obviously. You guys get to bask in the glow and be smug, because we could just make a stream about all the things that we've been proven right in over the last month. But one, that'd be beat 3 hours worth, and two, it's not really worth it. You guys know that already. Yeah, again, we've been calling for a political separation between Europe and America in terms of political narratives for basically as long as this channel has existed. It's one of our biggest gimmicks. So, yes, for those who, there was a few comments that seem to be expecting that to be the point of the stream, yes, but we've done that, not to death, but we've done that quite a lot. But obviously, all the stuff we talk about here is applicable internationally. We're talking about separation within British politics. British politics should be deglobalized and separated from, you know, global governance and global politics.
But before we get to that,
yes.
More importantly, if you enjoy the sporadic bits of content we make and you would like to support it, you can support us on this channel. If you don't mind giving money to Google, or you can support us on the Ko-fi directly. You can subscribe to the Substack, which has just recently been updated with a lot of the old podcast stuff
that we've previously done.
And you'll also find a couple of bits over there that you won't find anywhere else because YouTube didn't like it.
We haven't been writing stuff on the Substack mostly because we've been trying to get the second book done. Or at least we've been trying to get the groundwork in to make sure it's all going to get written in time. But the Substack will be coming back properly. But we had some real trouble with the back end of it. I could not get anything to update or blow. We have trouble with adding authors. It was just a bit of a mess. But today, finally, everything seems to have worked out. So if you guys would like to support us on a non-Google platform where we get a bigger cut, our entire back catalogue of podcasts is available in audio and video form. With no ads, yes. So if you don't have YouTube Premium and you can't listen to us in the background, do go over to the Anti-Politics Substack and go to the podcast section, because all of these episodes, they used to be available there just after us doing them on YouTube, but kind of I don't know what happened to the back end of Substack for a while there, but everything's back. We've uploaded everything to make sure we're up to date, so that is now our official backup platform, and there will be more writing going up there relatively shortly.
And if somehow you've been living under a big rock, we also have Book.
We do have
given
book.
The fact you mentioned a second book, which we might hopefully get done at some point.
Yes.
There is, of course, first book, and you should buy book, you should read book, you should post about book, you should do all things book related.
Yes, yes. But it's good to have the Substack working properly again. That's a bit of a relief. So a lot of our older stuff of video essays and just general essays you won't find either in the book or on YouTube are still over on Substack. There's still a bit of paid content on there as well.
Yes.
So it's all good.
There are reasons to follow us in multiple places.
Yes, yes.
But I think we should really hit the ground running here. I think the real premise that we want to attack this evening, so that we can touch again on it in future in a way that's hopefully very useful to people, is that in the current situation, the environment we live in, narrative construction and the control and maintenance of a narrative is more important than policy itself.
Yes.
Insofar as the fact that It doesn't matter how illegitimate the government is, or what you are told is the government. The ruling elites, who we must live under at the moment, which are not strictly limited to electoral positions in government, can dominate and control our lives better on scale with narrative tools than they can really a lot of other things.
Policy,
and that you can't
yes.
really remove them as a consequence of this.
No, policy has broken down, and really, it's something we've talked about before, that the real power, especially in the communication age of global elites, is not the creation of events. It is the framing of events. We've actually seen with the conflict that their power to impose events on reality is extremely limited, is far more limited than narratively we are told it is.
Mm.
They are impotent. We do not have the money and the production and the will for any kind of conflict at scale. It, despite the narrative imposition of conflict, conflict peters out because of reality.
Yes, and we've got a few examples we want to go through to sort of describe this dynamic. But what we're really going to get at here is hopefully the depth of the sort of information field that they have created so that narratives can be strung out of it, and the extent to which you have to go as an individual, or even more so as part of an organised minority, to thoroughly separate yourself from that.
Yes, there must be complete separation from the logic, the framing, the incentives of the existing structure. Otherwise, you cannot build something new. Mm. It is a we'll be repeating this throughout, but separation is a starting point. You cannot create something new and different with new and different ideas, even, never mind putting those into practice, without complete separation from agendas that are the opposite of it.
And yes.
Yeah.
And I think we could make a simple start here with such an obvious example of this, one that actually has a tangible real-world effect that does influence our lives. We've had Donald Trump come out as of Monday. Negotiations are going well. I think we had one on Friday as well about how he was talking directly with Iran, and things were going well, and we were going to get a deal, and
yes, yes,
whatnot.
Yes.
And come round by Wednesday, at least according to I think the next one we've got on the row there from Al Jazeera, the Iranians never spoke to Trump whatsoever and have now completely rejected his call for a ceasefire.
That's a weird page error they've got there with the width of their player, but that's funny. That's not an errand. But yes, there is this up and down, this narrative push and pull, in which reality on the ground, the fact that Iran was attacked by Israel and America in a war that it thought it could win quickly, that has not materialized. The plan has not happened, and they have been, in their strategic goals, defeated.
Yes.
They have suffered a military defeat through over-aggression. That is the standing reality. But the narrative around it, and the thing that people engage in as real, people are looking at these signals going, well, this doesn't make sense. The problem is, and the reason we call for separation, is this isn't meant to make sense. What this is for is, there's a Bloomberg article here back from April 2025, wild stock swings magnified by headline bots, strained liquidity. The stock market is particularly vulnerable to wild swings right now due to a combination of thin liquidity and headline-driven algorithmic trading bots. This is what helped turn a false tweet from President Donald Trump's plans for tariff into a $2.7 trillion market rebound on Monday and is fueling another jump in US stocks today.
So there's two things Trump's comment achieved. One, yeah. Bumping some prices up and down conveniently depending on what they required at that moment. And two, convincing the rest of Americans who don't want to be involved in the war that at least Trump's playing some part in it for them.
Yes. That's another big psychological point too, is that people want to feel like they are part of a team, an on team. They want to feel like they are part of a movement. They want to feel like they are part of something that is growing, that is moving, that is not dead. And so when there is nothing going on, when the reality is we have been militarily defeated and have retreated to a containment line that keeps us out of range, all of this keeps the narrative going. But none of this is real. We would never go, oh, what does Donald Trump think? Is this happening? Is that happening? Our standard heuristics cut through it. But this is the power of the narrative. This really is the greatest power that our elites currently have. they say things, and not only are they believed by the masses in some respect, all of the different interlocking signaling processes in the managerial state, like the markets in quotes, all respond to them like they are in charge because of this. No, because they've created a giant machine that lies to itself.
No, there is an important point to make here as well, that this goes in both ways.
Yes.
When, as we've pointed out time and time again, when you try and reject this or oppose it, you play a key part in legitimizing the story.
Yes.
If the stock market crashes because Joe Biden's made a mistake, the narrative that Joe Biden is somehow responsible for what happens in the market actually becomes solidified, as opposed to questioning it because he's obviously got no link to it whatsoever. It's all narrative.
I will say what isn't narrative is the $20 donation there from Ganon the Hawk before we came on art. Thank you for the $20 super sticker. And thank you there. Who is that? DigBick1034. Thank you, Mr. Bick, for the £10. I'm putting feta in the shepherd's pie, and you can't stop me.
Yes, I can. Turn around.
a little bit of feta cheese wouldn't be too bad. Feta can be nice.
What I do with mince and tatties to turn it into a quasi roast dinner is enough sacrilege for me.
That is true. But the reality is, the separation reality is, that the oil markets are a fiction. What Donald Trump says publicly is a fiction, and it tells you nothing.
Mm.
But that doesn't get you clicks. That doesn't get you obsessed over in the algorithm. That doesn't make you money. And so discussing it like it matters either way is legitimizing.
Yes.
Yeah. Having to counter something, having to respond to somebody, is an act of legitimization.
And I think as well, to move on to some of the other examples I've got here, we need to understand and truly take on board how intensive this process has become and how many pieces of it play into the puzzle. I mean, the lockdown, clap for carers to return us, clap for heroes.
Again, lockdown was an event, apart from the rare kind of like COVID ward and COVID fine stuff, which all got thrown out.
Mm.
It all got whoosh, whoosh, this no longer matters. Actually, all the quote-unquote hard power stuff really went away. Lockdown was a narrative. It was like a social contagion. It was an act of mass hysteria, but exactly. It was done through mass communication.
But I want people in the chat to just remember, because I can remember, I happened to have the misfortune of living in a studenty town at the time during COVID. And when they first did that clap for carers, clap for the NHS, whatever it was, crap, I can remember it, 6, 7 o'clock in the evening, whatever it was on a Tuesday. And the sound of hundreds, if not thousands of people where I lived, clapping. Just clapping.
Didn't happen here.
Yeah, I'm sure probably it did to some extent. Let's
I was going to say, it didn't happen to that extent. I think it happened in a short period of time, but yes, it didn't happen as much here. But
the important thing is that it did. Otherwise, people who consider themselves unaffected by a lot of these things, because they're normal people who aren't political in any way, shape, or form, felt the need to go out and do this. I mean, someone's talking about like, the dancing nurses. No, this is beyond this. This is the fact that the unreality of it became hyper-reality, because the complete and utter mistruth about it all became actionable, and people couldn't but help themselves and be part of it.
Yes, they told a lie, this wasn't happening, but because they lied and said it was happening, it was.
And there's no reason for anyone to be doing this.
No.
Nothing is improved, not even morale, or even some sort of Maoist theatre. It's literally just getting you to believe in it.
It's a demonstration. It's a demonstration of I see thing in communication, I do thing.
Mm.
And there is no in between. These people are self-initiated servants, basically.
I mean, the classic I remember seeing from a couple of years ago, where Goodwood, which is a celebration of motorsport and in large parts
what
British
does this
history,
have to do with historic racing?
It somehow became the front for what, over 18 months?
Yeah.
For Ukraine fucking suffering? Oh, we've got these artists that are putting blue and yellow together in works that we're going to sell for large amounts of money to support Ukrainians. Sorry, I thought this was about racing.
Yeah. And now it's all been sewn up into a giant Jewish apocalypse war? Thank you, Goodwood, for helping fund the overtures for the War of Gog Magog.
But it's like that. I think if you ask the people involved in Goodwood at the higher level, now a lot of them are people that you wouldn't even consider minor elite. Some of those folk are quite considerable and influential people, as you can tell by the fact that they've gone and done this. I think they actually probably wouldn't have a solid answer for why they've done it. In the same
especially
way that if
you're now,
yeah, especially if you turn around to people not now, but 5 years from now and go, did you clap for the carers during COVID? Why did you do it? I just think it's almost like unfair to be able to notice that this effect actually happens.
Yeah.
And if you do recognise this, notice the fact that you are one of the people that has truly separated themselves out of this and that you've not fallen for the peer pressure for the rest of it. I mean, what are the other nonsense we've got there?
Well, we've all obviously got the mysterious disappearing story.
Oh, the disappearing ambulances.
Gods. Chosen. Oh, God, it won't even pause. Oh, my God. Go away. No. There we go. The entire interface was broken there.
Oh, no. But all of these examples are events where the truth has played absolutely no part in what's going on whatsoever. What has been reinforced is basic principles or basic associations that the British sort of ruling elite and maybe more of a internationalist elite around them want you to believe. That's Dov Foreman. I think he's author of Never Again. Well, literally, I think he has actually written another book called Never Again.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should never again write a book.
No, you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. Jewish people are great writers.
Oy vey.
But yes, who does, of course, one David Atherton, Zog's favourite goon slave, running around on Twitter for a day or two, long after people had started to get to the point of, I'm not really sure we can suggest.
Why are you mourning a vehicle?
Yeah, but it was more the fact that even some of the people who would move away from this a day or two later, he was still at it.
God, but this is a great example of a story that is just absolutely shoved into your face for an instant. It's a pie in the face story, and it comes out. It was immediately declared a terrorist attack by Iranian groups that is outwardly sounds. It was a terrorist attack against the Jewish community by the Iranian state, and then it went away. Two people were arrested, bailed. The names weren't released, and it all went away. Apparently, there's been more arrests today, but still no names. So the whole
there's a Pakistani man was supposedly arrested in London.
Supposedly.
Zaya Yusuf told me so.
God, no. And again, it's still stretching out. We still have no actual idea what happened.
Never will.
There is no story here. Four vehicles go up in flames. That is all we know. The framing around it, the anti-Semitism, the public mourning by these bizarre, vile people who cluster themselves around to mourn a vehicle like it is a person.
Also, while at the same time,
neurotic.
King Charles has become, patron of the Community and Security Trust.
Yes.
Through which the Jewish community gets to liaison with police and intelligence fronts in no way, shape, or form that's dodgy. No, yeah. not at all. That would never happen. But all individual cases here, the clapping for carers, the bloody stupid Ukraine stuff everywhere that they supposedly had to believe in because Harry Potter and Marvel's Supermen were going to save Zelensky from big
look at
bad.
The language change here. Men released on bail over Jewish charity ambulance arson attack. No mention of terrorism, no mention of anti-Semitism. A slightly more value-free headline after the fact.
But did they all go to show that what's more important than actually happens and is going to happen after the fact is the narrative they can set.
Yes.
They can hold you in a narrative, or if they can hold you in opposition to a narrative, they've got you.
Well,
to stand further back and be able to separate yourself from it entirely.
We also do not have the power to frame reality to or for the masses.
No.
Trying to continuously reframe and red pill people in quotes is not profitable. That's why we don't try and debunk stories. There's nothing to debunk. It is a giant hairball of sad lies that people chatter to each other about that most of them don't believe in anyway. The content, as it were, of the news cycle is something we've been very firm on in terms of the fact that most of it doesn't mean anything.
Mm.
And separation from it and the use of our very, you know, solid heuristics and all of that is a great place to go and a great place to start. I don't actually have a visual example here for this one. But I've got another example really is climate. I'll get something on screen here, but the climate change debate, which has taken a bit of a back seat, really.
Well, it's not really even about climate change anymore. Is it? It's come full circle to where it was always going to be about, which is a conversation about power production and distribution.
Yes, it has fallen back to its fallback position, and it is now simply a discussion about energy security. No people gluing themselves to the road.
No question of whether or not CO2 is a factor.
No goblin.
No. Do we talk about, like, S204 sulfides off of bikes and whatever else? No, we don't talk about that anymore.
Nigerians bet on solar as global oil hits wallets and power supplies. Climate home news. The false hope of energy independence via the Green Lobby has been strengthened and not weakened in many people's eyes by this crisis. And those who went for the green push, who were the same people who were, you know, the most enthusiastic for Ukraine and Russia, war and Iran and America war, what they come out with and says, well, we told you the oil would get more expensive.
Mm.
The warmongers come out, the global warmongers come out and say, well, you need to switch to green energy. Tony Blair is the best example of the nexus of this. Mm. We need to attack Iran and Russia, but also you need to switch to green energy because oil is too expensive now.
Yes, and it's the perfect cop-out. It's always the fact that we're running out of oil and these we can't rely, we've got to de-invest.
There is this idea that within the narrative, the realities will reassert themselves as things continue not to work. But narratively, that doesn't happen. It's reality itself asserts, and then the managerial class tried desperately to lie about reality. As we've seen in its sharpest example, imagine every news story you see is Trump talking about Iran. Imagine every net zero you see is Iran surrendered today. That's what it's like. It is mostly nonsense noise there to generate a cycle. But there is no line. There is no point at which these people will go, we were wrong, we have no energy, everything's gone through the roof because we have no provision for our reliable energy sources. It all becomes self-reinforcing. The suffering means that you have not believed in the revolution hard enough.
Yeah, the reasons for gas prices going up are never truly brought back to the fact that Americans blew up Nord Stream, because really we should be having a conversation about climate change at the same time and global warming.
Why aren't we talking about the fact that America is an anti-European energy security terrorist state that has systematically destroyed our energy infrastructure and systematically attacked our energy partners?
Mm.
And they have done so in an organized manner to cripple Europe. Especially their deliberate, clear demolition of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which, under normal circumstances, would have been an act of war against Europe.
But who's meant to oppose all this? Aren't we supposed to have this strong, hard, radical leftist faction roving around Britain that's meant to oppose these things, fight for climate change, down with Trump, down with American imperialism? Where are these people? Because I hear about them on GB News every other day.
There's no bigger blind spot when it comes to hyper-reality or what we call unreality, which is the world that hyper-reality creates of self-reinforcing lies, as the threat of the left. The threat of the left, and the left as an entity, and the need to counter them and engage them and learn from them, is ridiculous. It is one of the biggest time sinks for anybody who considers themselves in alternative politics.
The left are not your real enemy. You should feel only sorrow and petty for these people in the same way that you do for Tommy Robinson or Nigel Farage when they give their, you know, loving statements about the nation of Israel and the only democracy in the Middle East. Zach Polanski gets on stage and continuously humiliates himself to demonstrate that he is not a threat to those in power. And he will not carve out a functional niche if allowed to be the outward face of the political process. What he's doing is running around and dancing and telling people, I'm not a threat.
That is exactly what he's doing. It is so strange that these people go, oh yes, Zach Polanski, definitely a real threat. Definitely a high-level actor. He definitely has a chance of actually being in power one day.
Yeah, we totally have to worry about the fact that he as an individual will be orchestrating things within Britain. Not so sure.
These people are taught wrong.
Was Jeremy Corbyn doing this, Pish?
I
mean, there was some of the lefties.
There was a bit of it,
stuff,
yes.
But, I mean, to go from nothing to being the face of this all to being straight onto some sort of march against the far right people in gimp suits and fishnets and whatever else. Surely, people on our side are clever enough to look at that and realise those people who are standing behind him that do genuinely believe in conservation or anti-Zionism or anti-American imperialism must feel as stupid as the people who believe in ethno-nationalism and go and sit at Tommy protests.
Thank you, JD. Need to hit character limit. Putting my application forward for the Fremen tier authors and war after Trump, Tommy and Connor personally built the third temple. Thank you very much for the pint money there. But this is a great example of the centre-right being your enemy. This is The Telegraph, Suzanne Moore, Jack Polanski's Glastonbury-style dancing is no joke. Yes, it is.
It's exactly what it is.
He's a sideshow. The left is more captured than the right is. That's why they're allowed to run around and run amok, because they're the children who have, you know, shown that all they can do is eat crayons.
Yes.
Eating crayons does not bring down the government.
Woke isn't and was never meant to function towards anything. It was designed to make the left useless in practice. The same is true for remigration placard protests. It is all haggling with the boxcar door. It is creating dichotomies within your movement that cannot be solved. Because they're not supposed to be solved. This is why we need separation. Separation is the starting point. You cannot even plan your agenda without separating yours from everyone else's. We must have total separation from these MLK wannabe cargo cults. There is an absolute waste of time attempting to be some sort of edgy ethno-nationalist or Nazi on Twitter or even in a protest when all you've got is a couple of placards and running around going, well, we just believe in democracy and the Britons will vote for us because they believe in our ideas. What's the point of being so edgy when you fundamentally believe in the liberal democratic sort of function of power?
Okay, I don't think we should have to do this with people, but if there is anybody who outwardly displays an opinion or shares someone else's opinion that seems to believe that hippies walking around with signs change the world, those people are, in our view, a form of mentally disabled. Peaceful protest did not change the Western world.
I mean,
and people who want to engage in it are fundamentally retarded. They are not misguided. You should feel sorry for them, yes, but also they are dangerous. They have a functional impairment where they do not understand how power works, or they are being paid to pretend that they do not. Walking around with a sign affects no change. You are imitating in the same way as a small island cargo cult creates a runway for planes that will never land. You are walking around with a sign in a reenactment of the MLK myth for change that will never happen.
I mean, what are these people doing?
African talking into a coconut radio, expecting a response.
Well, no, it's worse than that. What you are functionally doing is demonstrating that you give your permission to Keir Starmer to deport migrants on your behalf.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Thank you for letting Keir Starmer know that you want them deported too. I'm sure he'll take that.
You're also just in a humiliating manner begging a giant machine that shouts that it hates you constantly.
And as things carry on here as well, and I think this will go to show the emphasis we have here on total and utter separation. I know people involved in some of the Vox Populi stuff. I understand they have their own problems with that separately. But what doesn't work to me is the fact that at one moment they're filming TERF protests by people who are out-and-out Zionists that can't stand the politics of someone like Steve Laws, who's then featured because they want to film this protest where a bunch of folk from Patriotic Alternative have showed up.
It's a bunch
of... Are you or are you not at that point creating the big tent? Are you or are you not putting... You know, there's a couple more examples here we can go through. Oh, there's a... Dan Wooten of GB News, who's celebrating the fact that Restore's going up in the polls, woo, and Reform's slumping. We've got Montgomery Toms running around going, well, we need to be post-racial and colourblind, and we need to not do identity politics. How are you going to reconcile GB News' ex-boy botherer, bloody post-racial Montgomery Toms, Steve Laws, the PA crowd, or for that matter, more importantly, ourselves with all of that? It's not going to fucking work, and it's not supposed to.
No.
You shouldn't want to reconcile these differences. Either, say, an organisation like Restore, which a lot of these people want to throw their weight behind, needs to find a singular direction and excise these people off like cancerous boils, or it's not going to work.
A series of publicity stunts to try and draw attention to an electoral project is so monumentally stupid that I doubt that anyone involved has ever considered, you know, the ramifications of where any of this would go.
Mm.
The civil rights MLK cargo cult cannot intrude into any activities to rebuild British power, because that's really what we're aiming for. I know it's a lofty goal, but we are not whiners, we are not hippies, we are not anarchists, we are not libertarians. We want a strong Britain that is strongly in partnership with its foundational ethnic group, as in those of British heritage. That's it. But you can't talk about that if you're talking about all these other things that we said in the big tent.
Or how we need to fight Antifa and street protests because we've got to have a presence. Where does that get you if we go on to the BBC link we've got next after this? Oh, yeah, you all get done under Public Order Acts and banned from local towns and cities. It's the... There you go.
Oh, no, well, yeah, we'll finish this here, though, first. People who believe and reaffirm the big tent are poisonous to practical work based in reality.
Mm.
Do not organize with people who believe in these things, and do not organize with people who keep people with them who believe. I know it's like a, oh, it's purity spiraling, it's this, it's no, it's not. No retards. How hard is that? How hard is it not to have someone pipe up and go, excuse me, we just need to carry a sign? All of you get out, and if that's your friend, get out as well. Do not bring people like that near serious discussions. Do not bring people like that near any activity that's supposed to achieve anything.
Mm.
Those people are not only useless, they are counterproductive. They are absolute cancer.
Because, as we got into right at the start, we do not have the tools to control narrative manufacture.
No.
Because we don't have those tools, when things like this happen, we don't look the better for it.
No.
And the thing that boggles my mind now, right, why would you self-identify as part of the online right now, when clearly what the online right is in no way, shape or form defined by the people within it?
It's police officers and Zionists.
No, it's not even that. It's totally identified and described by people outside of it.
Yes, you are putting yourself in an enclosure that is chronicled by a group of people who hate you.
Yes. So why would you actively want to be part of that? Why not, as we've suggested, make every single effort you can to be totally and utterly separated from this and anyone involved in it? Big Tent ain't going to work because it's full of embarrassment. People who are dangerous. People who will grass you into the police because they don't understand what they're dealing with.
And that is the end result. And yes, they can just ban you from a county. They can just ban you from a town centre. They can just turn your life into a procession of criminal and civil dealings.
I like some. So is that Zach Smith in chat? They said purity spiraling does not eat quality spiraling. Do you know what? I'm quite happy to call purity spiraling what it actually is: quality assurance. Yeah. Every single private company in the world has to do it. You know, if you were on the production line at Cornflakes and you were making sure the cornflakes were actually cornflakes to the standard they were supposed to be set at, no one would come up to you that worked with you and go, why are you purity spiraling about them?
Yeah, have you...
It's quality assurance.
Have you considered you shouldn't just be a group of whoever turns up? Yeah. Have you considered that's a terrible idea and that's one of the stupidest things you could ever think? No, of course we have to filter people extremely harshly. I mean, look at what's happening. Look at what's around you. Look at the bumbling, idiotic attempts at political action that characterize the modern right. And tell me that those people don't need to be 100 miles away from you in whatever you are doing. Anyway, we shall continue. Of course, it's something we've talked about a lot before, and I've not got many notes here for it, but it's more of a discussion, I suppose. Yeah, we must have total separation from the narratives created by the UK security state and the many NGO and media fronts. I mean, we've hinted at this kind of framing for a long time in our containment stuff. This is how you get out of containment. You can't counter the containment operations. You can only point them out to those that you are wanting to collaborate with as an area not to go. It demarcates territory, really, that you shouldn't touch. It's not territory that you have the resources to invade. You should evacuate these containment spaces.
It's loss prevention.
Yes. you have to basically run from some areas, some narratives, some communities, because they have been wholly taken over, and all you're doing is expending energy to fight for a community that is captured. In the same way that people expend energy trying to fight for a institution that is captured. It's the same way that people go, oh, we'll just reform the Church of England or the Catholic Church or the civil service, or, you know, we'll reform the officer corps, we'll reform this, we'll reform that. It's this hope, really, that we can fight on their own terms and on their own turf. We cannot. And we shouldn't.
No.
You have to make what you are organizationally indigestible. And the only way you can do that is to have separation. You can't appear to look like them, because to people who are genuinely interested in alternatives, you will not stand out. And also, you can't actually be connected to them, because they make you completely useless. Everyone's like, well, why didn't anyone do anything in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, not, you know, 2000s, 2010s? It's because of this. It's because the UK security state has all the NGOs and the media sewn up. All of them, especially on the right. All of them, because they're the more practically minded, supposedly more practically minded side of people. So we have to, as a first step, cut off everybody who has even tangential relations to the British security state, and then cut off people who also have close relations to them. And, it's not my fault my brother works at Policy Exchange /this/that.
Actually, it is.
Yeah, actually, it is. Like, how seriously do you want change in this country? Would you be willing to tell people that, you know, people that are close to you, that they're part of an anti-human machine, and that makes you sick? Are you willing to rock the boat that much? Are you actually willing, like leftists do, to admonish people and maybe even degrade some of the relationships with those people if they're engaging in activity that actively destroys this country?
This is why,
or the group that they are in is.
This is why they had to wash these people with disgusting woke ideas, because some of your minor elites and kids of minor elites on the left did actually find the situations they were in probably disgusting and irreprehensible, and decided that they would go out kicking and screaming about it. But what we got instead was them gluing themselves to classical art pieces as opposed to engaging in something effective, because there was no outlet for it.
That's true. All the climate people, all the people who got wound up by the climate doom, they all got captured by the American security state, effectively, with the whole Just Stop Oil thing.
An Extinction Rebellion.
Yeah, but we've been over that about a million times. The Extinction Rebellion being funded by a US billionaire trust that's a front for the US security state.
Mm.
Just openly, just nakedly. Yes, this happens all the time to leftists as well, but no, it's not paranoia. It's not us having sour grapes. It's not us not playing well with others. It's the fact that you have intelligence officers who are
in your midst,
and you refuse to stop platforming, collaborating with, and defending them.
And especially, how many times now, even with specific people, have we pointed out X, Y, or Z popular sort of front or X, Y, or Z electoral project would be a good idea, but we do not have the resources to control the things above and beyond that that are needed to make that work for us and be utilizable.
There are years
and years and years of planning before you even think about starting something like a party. And some of that planning involves discussing things that you can't talk about online.
It also involved a whole load of extremely boring groundwork.
Well, there's that too.
If you don't want to have to hand it over to the same people who destroyed the political process in the first place.
Hmm.
But nobody wants to do that.
But so who does go and do it instead then? What you have is people like fucking John Mappin running around, who's one of our recent punching bags, but I quite enjoy it because I just think he's such a queer old man. There's something awful about him.
I also just can't fucking stand Scientologists. Like, anybody who's a New Age religion-style person, especially when it's, like, a naked, like, money scam.
Mm.
Like, not even a pyramid scheme. Like, a pyramid scheme with a cult attached to it. I mean, you've got to be, in the internet age, you've got to be real stupid or real evil to be publicly talking about Scientology. But that's what this is. That's who, again, we called out Montgomery Toms for getting in bed with Scientologist John Mappin. But here he fucking is again. He's his little bum boy. Montgomery Toms is a bum boy who is owned by a Scientologist. Look at him. Your boss is a kooky Scientologist who talks about astral projection and how Charlie Kirk believed he had past lives.
I mean, it's...
The vanity of it. The vanity. But as Britain burns, for you to take the dodgy, you know, kooky Scientology money, it actually makes me want to be sick.
But I think the thing here is what we want people to be doing is that I want, you know, if anyone that was involved in, and I keep using restorers because that's the thing of the moment everyone wants to be involved in. If whoever actually runs Rupert Lowe's Twitter just come out and said, sorry, John Mappin, we don't want your money and we don't want your involvement. Stop talking about us.
Yeah. Like, why can't you just say, fuck off, you creepy Scientologist crypto scammer? That's why I kept the image on here.
I don't think there's a reason why they can't. The problem is that no one carries the attitude that the first thing they think they should do is that they should.
Yeah, we must have total separation from spiteful mutants, scam artists, grifters, kooks, and people who get involved in alternative politics as a lifestyle, a career, an escape, or a gimmick.
And it's a disgusting den of iniquity. I mean, yeah. Look at... the next thing we've got here is...
You want to buy some Bartcoin? Some zero value. You want to go to John Mappin's Camelot Castle, talk about Scientology, and buy some Bartcoin? Bartcoin to save. Montgomery Tom says Bartcoin to save the West.
Bartcoin's insignificant. It pales in comparison. I think it's moving again. It's the Overton window. Mike Goodwin's book self-handedly shifted at several nautical miles.
I can't. His book was so bad that it's like 90% of the people who were defending him and attacking us on his behalf, some of them, have decided that Matt Goodwin's a big poopy pal now.
But this is the thing that really annoys me.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep hammering on this. I don't care if people think I'm being a stickler about this. I think it's deeply important. People who apologised for him and his connections to the security state in the previous number of years should not be allowed to run away scot-free because they're taking the piss out of him now and they have jumped ship.
No apostates. Apostatism is a sign of weakness. We do not want apostates. You were wrong the first time. You were still wrong now. Go away, apostates. We believed before you.
I mean, this is the thing. Is people are too... I think it's a big problem with things being online. people are too easy, too quickly, too generous with how they just turn around, how they change opinion on people and they allow people to redeem themselves. I'm sorry, but there is no redemption. There is no redemption for some of this stuff. Unless these people, you know, actually come out of the woodwork years after disappearing offline.
It's not just him, though. We use him as he's a cipher. He's an example.
Mm.
He's EG dot person. But the think tank spook sphere is full of people like this. Alan Mendoza, the security guy from Reform, who is an open Israeli lobbyist and a member of the security state. Mm. I mean, I don't think it is... He is so far involved in it that saying Alan Mendoza is an intelligence officer is just a fact.
Mm.
He is.
But it's like... We, because of that, even if someone who said to us, well, this person has done some research with the Henry Jackson Institute or the society, but I think it's good. It's like, no, I wouldn't touch it. I don't care if they've produced a value-free paper that proves everything I once said, because on a narrative portion and on the patronage front, I don't want to be near anything Alan Mendoza's been within a mile of.
You must reject anyone who's worked for the Tory party. You must reject anyone who's worked for their think tanks. You must reject anyone who's worked for their outlets, or at least question them very, very heavily and say, excuse me, why were your words carried here?
But there's people in chat going, oh, well, even these people dunked on Matt Goodwin. It's like, well, that's all very well and fair, but these people didn't have a word to say about him for 2 years when we were running around very clearly pointing out his very involved role with intelligence services to knock back the very movements these people want to be part of now.
Thank you, Baz of the North, for becoming a member as a Venus Bro. We are still fully monetized on YouTube somehow, so thank you.
This is the stuff that matters. This is the important part. This is the thing that people should remember about Matt Goodwin. It should be two words: right response, not bad book.
Yes, yes. It's these people get cycled out for meaningless reasons when the meaningful thing, the fact that the think tank and media sphere is full of intelligence officers who push basically backstop narratives to stop whites kicking as they are replaced in this country, openly. That is what they want to do. That is what their documents say. But no, he made a silly book.
And as a lead-in to what will be our next stream at some point when we get round to it, this ability to flip-flop and polarise people over the narrative and the presumption of legitimacy.
Yes.
Is such an important thing to understand, and to understand it from both ends, to recognize that they can use someone like Goodwin and delegitimize him in a way that actually saves face for the things that he's done and other people have apologized for.
He's no longer really in the narrative. He is a character that has been put out to pasture in the same way that pointing out all the awful connections of someone like Boris Johnson and the things he said in the past and what a joke he was, nobody cares.
No.
Boris Johnson doesn't matter anymore. In the same way that Matt Goodwin has suffered his own control definition, he doesn't matter anymore.
We don't care about the fact that Douglas Murray basically apologised for the horrific actions of the Israeli state on the British press for the last 15 years, because now he's just a bit of a nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, no one remembers. Like, Douglas Murray's completely disappeared. Where's Doug? He's in the Zionist soup.
Mm.
It is that these people tend to disappear. We have no idea when we're doing the next event. Thank you, Baz of the North. But we're trying to keep just normal things in order here, I'm afraid.
Life gets in the way when it comes to doing shit like that. And we have a certain way we like to go about putting events together. And until things are background in a way that we have the comfort to be able to do that again, there will be no events, because frankly we don't want to disappoint people by having to cancel something.
One
traitor is worse than 10,000 open enemies. Absolutely.
Yes.
100%.
Well, that's where this, and again, it seems like a simple idea, but people can't seem to do it.
No.
There shouldn't be any equivocation on all these basic issues. And if people can't meet your basic issues, and if people can't meet the basic requirement of not being connected to outright spooks, to outright misanthropes, to people who are legitimately just spiteful, to people who believe in the fantasy of electoral politics and of civil rights protest. If this, again, starting point, you cannot start to organize or plan or even think about that without the separation there. And currently, as we learn with the whole Warner Rand situation, a whole bunch of people, oh, I'm very disappointed XYZ poster came out and defended the Iran war. But, well, maybe you should have noticed the other things these people are amplifying and the networks they're part of and the fact that they associate with people, they still associate with people who would flirt with those ideas.
Because there was no surprise round our way, was
there? Oh, there was
we knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah, we knew exactly what was going to happen. And give yourselves a pass on the back, dear viewers, because you, many of you at home, also knew what was up and knew what was about to happen here. Yeah, we are so far past the like MAGA, UK MAGA cope stuff. People just used to come at, like, I was with that all the time. Oh, MAGA could be good. MAGA could be good. We need to copy it a bit in the UK. Well, maybe it'd be good. You guys are just Blackpool. You guys are wrong. No. And anyone, by the way, any of you who did that, who came to us and said, you need to be more like MAGA. Never. We will never listen to you. I don't care how much you try and sound like us from now on. I don't care how much you pick up our talking points. No. You were wrong. You were wrong for years. And that completely disqualifies you. Anyone who flirted with MAGA as a good thing since 2020, really, you know, as an adult, I'll forgive people who were like, yeah, Donald Trump was like a 14-year-old in like 2016.
Yeah, but this is the problem with this, is that it's cyclical process where things are built up and disbanded. Someone in the chats, they're asking, is the idea to grip after Restore is over, or are you writing off most of them? It doesn't matter, because quite frankly, we're still at step one. Nothing has been done. We are still at step one. There's been a few personal projects that have worked for people. There's a few groups here and there that have kind of been knocked together or produced a thing here or two or put an event here or two together. Is there an organised minority full of people of ironclad bloody will who are willing to sit and think concretely about how we solve the problems in Britain nowadays? No. Will we ever have that? I'll be honest, thinking probably never. Not unless something deeply, deeply worryingly sort of consequential changes.
Well, we've got, I don't know, there's a bit more to talk about here. I think as well, in terms of the topic we're talking about at the beginning, the discussion is so far behind what we've talked about in the last 3 years. Quite honestly, we've been streaming less because we've been waiting for events to catch up.
Yeah, there's, I mean, in a certain regard, there is nothing for us to really write or talk about anymore. We could sit and speculate.
We're making the book, but
well, no, but yeah. Beyond that, we could sit and speculate about things. We could ruminate on what's the strategy Rupert Lowe should use for this or whatever else. But there's fucking no point. Anyone that's trying to pretend there is a point to it, tell them to go and swivel on it. Because it's one of my greatest pet peeves, is when everyone decides they're contrarian in opposition to something, whilst completely and utterly giving it legitimacy by being opposed to it, as opposed to just fucking ignoring
thank it. Thank you for the $5 there, Arnie, for an Arnie. I like that's a good pun. Great book, great company, many happy returns. Much gratitude for being able to see clearly again. Never again, burning hell, MAGA, yes. It does. This is why we kept such like hard separation from the victories, in quotes, of MAGA, and we wouldn't bask in the glow of the quote-unquote God Emperor. This is, a lot of people thought we were very curmudgeonly and autistic about it, and I hope now people see why. It's just, we're so far down this rabbit hole of needing separation from all of this nonsense, of being able to have sensible conversations as we do. You know, if you haven't seen them, go and watch our sensible discussions on race. I look, one of my favorite comments on the last one was just, I have no idea how you guys get away with this.
Get away with what?
Yeah, get away with what? In its time of need, as it is as we speak, Israel is being relentlessly cluster bombed.
For only 4 shekels a month, you can buy someone a dustpan and brush to clean up their multi-million pound condo right on Tel Aviv's beach. In a trying time like this, we need to help our greatest ally.
Can we get some Fs in the chat for the beautiful city?
Is it like a dustpan and brush or like
can we have a broom, please?
Some broom emojis.
Yeah, can we get some broom emojis for Tel Aviv, please? We're helping. We're contributing. We care. Anyway, guys. Yeah, we'll try and do more of these.
Shouldn't we tell people now?
What?
This stream is all an April Fool's joke. We're actually joining Restore as local branch organisers.
Yes. We've got a quick donation there of 200 Czech kroner, I believe. Not fretting over politics is the way. Rereading book. And it dawned on me how basic the principles are. Yes, a lot of it is almost like a process of deprogramming.
Oh, I like seeing all the brooms in chat. I'm sure BB will be very happy.
Brooms for little BB.
I will pass.
Brooms for BB.
I will pass your good actions and goodwill on to Ben Gavir personally.
He's
a great fan of the show.
As we are great fans of the State of Israel, he is a great fan of the show.
But yeah, we'll see you when we've started Restore Tel Aviv.
Yes, Restore Tel Aviv to whatever it was called before. Goodbye!